Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King of Glory. And so it's good to be here. Thank God that we're here another day. Give thanks unto the Lord. For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So thank God that we're here on another session of Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And so we thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends and followers, all of our LinkedIn connections, all of our Facebook friends, and all of our Twitter followers. Thank God for you being tuned in to Truth Ministry, or if you're listening at another time on demand. So we're here on July the 7th, 2015, and we thank God that we are here, being able to look into the Word of the Lord, to search the Scriptures. Jesus says, "For in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So our question, our ongoing question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So it's so important, it's imperative to be born again, because that's your ticket out of here, being born of the water, and of the Spirit. And that is the new birth, water baptized in the name of Jesus and being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. So we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. So we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we know this is Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, to the Ephesian church believers who are already saved. And so there's no such thing as a Trinity. Ain't no Holy Trinity. That's a damnable lie. But God is one. So that's why our ongoing theme is the Godhead. There's only one God. He's an invisible God. He made Himself known in the face of Jesus Christ. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He came into the world that he made. So this is why Paul wrote to Timothy, saying there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So he gave his life a ransom. And so thank God for it. And so you have to be born again to see it. You can't see it, or you can't perceive it, or you can't understand the oneness if you have not the Spirit of God. Because it takes the Spirit of God to understand spiritual things. So we're glad to be here. And we just got done with the book of Ephesians for several weeks. We've been going through dealing with the church at Ephesus. And so on last week, we ended up, finished up, and we talked about the spiritual warfare that we're in. So we even mentioned on last time about that shooting in South Carolina. It's ironic that happened the Wednesday after I did my broadcast on that Tuesday, and then I think the following week I didn't come on. Then I came on last week, and so I'm on again this week. So it's good to be here. So you got to realize what's going on. It's a warfare going on. We're in spiritual warfare, and I mean, sometimes people get offended. They don't understand spiritual biblical terminology about being in spiritual warfare. It's not a personal thing, but it's the fact of the matter is the devil is the enemy. He hates every last one of us. And like I said on last time, he is not prejudiced. He will use racism against people and to divide people, but he is not prejudiced. He's a father of lies, and he hates everybody. And the point which you really have to catch a hold and believe is that he hates God. So he gets back through people, gets back, you know, he calls himself getting back at God, doing things to people. Because that's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Notice the words, your adversary. He is no match for God. So we have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. So in other words, you got to be on your P's and Q's, we would say, you know, as watch and pray. I mean, people have a play on words. They say, yo, watch as well as pray. No, he didn't say that. He said, watch and pray. It's equally important to watch as it is to pray. You got to watch yourself, and you got to watch others. And you know, someone would try to harm you. You got to be on your guards. So we thank God for his word. And so one of the things that he said, as I do a little recap here, in the 10th verse of the book of Ephesians, he was saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So in other words, his tricks, his cunning craftiness and all. So he goes on to let us know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So in other words, we're in a spiritual warfare. We're not fighting with boxing gloves on and wrestling and with one another, but what goes on in the spiritual world is manifested in the natural world. Just like what happened, those people were shot at that Bible study. That was working in the atmosphere. The devil had that man's mind. He came in, just like Jesus said, I chose 12 of you, one of you is the devil. So they would have had spiritual discernment. That would not have happened. That's making people be more sober, more and be vigilant. So to be sober, not just talking about drunk, but it's sober-minded, because some people are just drunk on things. Their mind is wandering all over the place, but you got to be focused what you're doing when you're driving. They're trying to tell people, don't drink and drive. They try to tell people, don't text and drive. Some people can't talk to another person in the car while they're driving, let alone talking on the phone. Some people can't walk and chew gum at the same time. They can't walk and drive at the same time. So you have to have your mind on what you're doing. So you have to be focused is what it's all about. So he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we all got to realize that the devil is the enemy of all righteousness. He hates every last one of us. I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. So he is the real enemy, and he is a evil spirit, and he hates the spirit of God. So should you desire to call in, our call-in number is 646-716-6566. Should you have a question or a comment, you are welcome. 646-716-6566. So today, we're just doing a little recap. But we're going to get into our lesson, Fellowship with the Father, today, and how our fellowship is with the Father. So we're going to talk about fellowship on today, but we're just doing a little recap here from last week, letting you know about the spiritual battle or spiritual warfare that we're in. So he goes on here, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Notice now, it's not our armor, but it's the armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Then he goes on, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So, and then and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So in other words, guard your mind. Take that sword. You're actually going on the offense. You're actually going on the devil's territory. Because the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. But you got to go out in the world. That's why he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So you got to go and get them. You got to bring them. So you have to go in the hedges and highways and compel them to come. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he was saying, therefore, knowing in his second letter, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. So God is not going to be playing. After he raptures his church out of here, he's going to pour out his wrath. So, you know, some things are going on right now. It's nothing compared to what it shall be. The mystery of iniquity doth already work in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Only he who now letteth will let, talking about God, the Holy Ghost, hindering. He who now let, the word let means hinder, will hinder till he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed. So it's all deceivableness and lying wonders. Even who's working is after the working of Satan. So after the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, after the church is raptured out of here, the devil is going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the devil inside of a man, that's going to be a real mess, and nobody want to be dealing with that. But you want to be on the other side, because after the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation, immediately their door was open in heaven. That's the church. John and the church are looking back on the earth. And he go on all the woes and everything that are happening. And one quote, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So some of the things that are going to be happening in the earth after the church is gone. God told John not to even write about some things that were going to happen. So what we got to do? Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit after you have received the new birth, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So in other words, we're praying for one another, and we're pleading for and with one another, because you got to realize who the enemy is, none other than Satan, the devil, the serpent, All of those things you can read about him in the book of the Revelation is who he is. And he is the thief, Jesus said, that cometh for nothing but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So he doesn't care about nobody, but he wants to destroy. That is his job, to destroy. So today we want to move on here in our lesson. We're talking about fellowship. So fellowship is a really, some people think fellowship is eating. Fellowship has nothing to do with eating. You can do that, but it has nothing to do with eating. Fellowship is a condition of being an associate, mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms, communion, companionship, familiar. A dictionary definition: intercourse, intimate, familiarity, joint interest. So in other words, fellowship is you have the same things in common is what it denotes. So that's why we're going to go on here and we're going to see what John, the Revelator, which is the same saint that wrote St. John. We're in the first epistle of John. He also wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the same John, and he's talking about fellowship. So we're going to go on here. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have handled, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we seen, have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Notice that word, fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So notice, like I always, I've been using my theme, the Godhead, because there's only one God. Just for a little point of information, after you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. So Jesus is Jehovah who has become our salvation. So there is only one God, and we substantiate that all the time. So Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. You read one writer, Isaiah, really breaks down the awesomeness of the eternal God, the creator of the ends of the earth, more than any other writer. I am the Lord. Besides me, there is no Savior. And he was saying, is there a God beside me? I know not of any. You read in Isaiah 43, 42, 43, 45, 46, 9, 10, 11. Remember the former things of old. I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning in ancient times of things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. So this is why they didn't understand that Jesus is Messiah who came in the flesh. And, every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist. What is that saying? Every spirit that confess not that God is come in the flesh is Antichrist. We're going to get to that as we go. So, I mean, you have to pay attention, and you cannot understand spiritual things if you have not been born again, not the one. But some people, their intellect, they're smart enough to know, like, everything that Jesus done, nobody could do those things but the Lord himself. And what you got to realize, it's so simple. He is invisible. The divine essence of God is spirit. He's invisible spirit. He's everywhere and every place. In the beginning, God. He was always. He's the eternal God. He always was. He invented time. See, and so this is what man does. Let's try to figure out the origin of a thing. He can figure it out. God had no beginning. He has no ending. He is eternal. And see, that's why people think that, oh, when you're dead, that's it. No, we're spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit. You ever laid down and went to sleep or fell asleep, took a nap or whatever? You were in another state or somewhere. You weren't there where you were laying down at. That is your mind, your spirit. You can be walking around in another state, not the one that you're in, because you are body, spirit. Your mind, like we say, we can meditate. We can dream, and our mind can be somewhere else, not where we're at. So he goes on here, he made known his ways unto Moses, talking about God, the psalmist says, and his acts to the children of men. So to make known is to reveal. So what he did in Psalms, the 90th Psalm, this is a prayer of Moses. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So you got to really realize that he is eternal. He is not like us. He's the eternal spirit. And so he made himself a body. So he is Emmanuel, God with us. That's why Mary said, how shall these things be, when she made her salutation with Elizabeth in Luke, the first chapter, in verse 35. So he says, the power of the highest shall come upon thee and shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So you look down the generation. So even Adam was made after the pattern of Jesus Christ, because God is the only one image. Only one head, only one God. So he can never be what he is not. So in other words, he can't be contained. When he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was and what he never ceased to be, he's always God. He's not no Trinity. Ain't no three and one and all that. That's foolishness. He's everywhere and every place. Can leave you, come to you, ain't gone nowhere. He's in you, in me. He's in China. He's in Beijing, he's in that's China. He's in Spain, he's in Europe, he's in Germany, he's in America. He's everywhere and every place, because he's God. So we go on here. So he goes on here. He's talking about that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. Who is that? John. He was an apostle. He was an eyewitness. So I've said, so, and that's not a popular subject, but it's true. There are no apostles today. They're all dead. There's 12 apostles. There may have been a few others, because Judas lost his place in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And notice now, the Acts of the Apostles, their names are in the 12 foundations. In the New Jerusalem, their names, the 12. So that you had to be chosen by the Lord, an eyewitness, taught by the Lord. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they also died horrible deaths. So we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So he is God. He is, when he told Peter to tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So not Jesus Christ, that ain't his last name. Christ is his office of who he is. He is the Son of God, the body of God. He is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. So he says, this then is the message that you have heard of him, and declare we unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So he was a sin sacrifice. That's why John
The Baptist got the revelation, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He got a revelation who Jesus was when he saw him in the flesh. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. That's talking about someone who has sin. So if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So I kind of jumped ahead a little bit. So he goes on here. This is the prayer. This is the plea of John the Apostle, the Spirit of God working through him. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not him in him. Whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him also, himself also, so to walk even as he. So we're talking about fellowship. So this is a thing that everyone doesn't have, but that believers have in common. So God hates religion. He came to save us from our sins, not going through all of these ceremonies and all. That's why he let the Pharisees know that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They were saying, man, you're sitting with the sinners. You're eating with the publicans. You're eating with the sinners. You a wine bibbler and all that. And he was letting them know, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So in other words, you self-righteous Pharisees, you don't even realize that you're in bad shape. You need me. I'm the Christ, saith the Lord. That's what he came to do. So anyway, as we go on here, Peter preaching at Pentecost, he says, this Jesus has God raised up. Now, understand now, the Spirit raised up the body, whereof we are witnesses, therefore being at the right hand of God, exalted. So in other words, it's the right hand is the hand of favor, the hand of authority. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. These people were speaking with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them to utter. Just go back a little bit because I'm going to let you know how this is. They had these things in common. So when the day of Pentecost is fully come, this is Acts 2 and 1. They were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues, or that word cloven can be divided also, like as a fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice what I said. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They're dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. When this was noise abroad, the multitude came together, one confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. See, remember, you speak in another tongue or another language when you receive the Holy Ghost. They were all amazed, behold, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? That was a question. How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocked and said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, said unto them, ye men of Judah, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken to my words. In other words, listen to me. These are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. This is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants, on my handmaids, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Prophesy means to preach. So you've heard me quote that scripture before. So anyway, he goes on here. So we don't want to go into the whole lesson, his whole sermon that he's preaching here. But the point being, so he says, this Jesus have God raised up whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being at the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So I went back and showed you in the scriptures what they heard. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he is the Christ. That's what he came to do. He is a good shepherd. He came to give his life for the sheep. So, you know, nowadays people are portraying themselves to be so important. Like one so-called apostle, and I won't take it back, was on the Preachers of Detroit, had nerve to say that he laid his hands on this certain one, consecrated him to be a bishop. He can't take it back. I thought to myself, take what back? You ain't Jesus. So he called himself an apostle, but he's not an apostle because there are no apostles today. So he goes on here. He said, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. So this is what the word does. It's quick and powerful. That means it's alive, it's living, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder into the dividing of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. Talking about the word of God, this is Hebrews 4 and 12, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Hebrew writer goes on to say, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in this sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But they were pricked in the heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent. In other words, that means turn. That don't mean turn all the way around. If you turn all the way around, you'd be going the same way you were before you turned around. But you turn. That means you did a 180-degree turn. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, Jews, to your children. That's who he's talking about, the Jews. Because this is who he initially came to, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is who received salvation first. Because God is a God of order, and that's the way he works. To your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And they that gladly received his word, whose words? Peter's word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Excuse me. So I'm getting to my point. What I want to get to, what we're talking about on today, is fellowship with the Father. So he goes on here, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's teaching and fellowship and in breaking the bread and in prayers. So you see right there, doctrine is teaching. Fellowship is not eating, but they had these things in common. The condition of being an associate, mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms, communion, companionship, familiarity, joint interest. So you can't talk about that you haven't had. You haven't been born again. You don't understand spiritual things. That's why Jesus made the statement that he did to Nicodemus. when he was saying, Nicodemus, when he's saying, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because Nicodemus had asked him, how can a man be born again when he is old? So he was letting him know, if you can't, you're not born again, you can't see it. Then he went on to let him know, he says, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? So this is, God hid it from the wise and the prudent, and he revealed it unto babes. So in other words, you got to humble yourself. So when the world by wisdom, they didn't know God. When he wrote, Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. So he called preaching foolishness. It's foolishness to the Jews. They required a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom, but Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So he's now somebody going to be your wisdom. You can't nobody be your wisdom but you. That proves his deity right there. So he sees, you see your calling, brother, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. He didn't say not any. So he says the weakness of God is stronger than men. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. So it's about Jesus. God already had said he's not going to give his glory to another. He just came closer. This is why the writer says, which being interpreted, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So he came and walked among men. He came to give his life. They didn't get to, that's why Paul said, he's talking about wisdom. None of the princes of this world knew. He said, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So they thought they killed him. But that's why Jesus said in St. John the 10th chapter, no man take my life. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. No man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment ever I received of my Father. In other words, just like he said, I'm in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in me. So he is the Christos. He is the anointed flesh of God. So they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So who are they? They are the 12 who he chose. And in the book of the Revelation, talk about those that have been tried and said they were apostles. They've been tried and they were found liars. They were not apostles, and neither are there any apostles today. So people, they were sent forth. That's another term or title of an apostle. They were sent forth. But the point being, you had to be chosen by the Lord. You had to be an eyewitness. You had to be taught by him. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died horrible deaths. So having fellowship, you got to be talking about the same thing. And just like they say, is really some things are really so simple. Like they say, birds of a feather flock together. I mean, people, you got to have common interests. Like people who drink, they hang out together. People who smoke weed, they do it with someone else. Somebody's not going to sit up and do that with somebody else and tell them all about it. They'd be interested. They don't want to smell it. They don't want to see your reaction. They don't want to see any of that. You don't have the same things in common. So this is why we have to look in the scriptures to see what it's all talking about. So you're going to be talking about the same thing. You're going to have the same things in common. You're going to have the same interests. You're going to have the same teaching, just like the apostles did. They continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Because what's going to happen is going to end up being just like that foolishness that preachers of L.A. and Detroit, the preachers of Detroit, when they one time they were at dinner and they got all bent out of shape. Because the point being, people don't understand biblical terminology to realize when you're in the church, there are differences of offices and administrations. That's only in the church. You're neuter gender. There's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor free. You're all one in Christ. So there's no, you're not just like if Hillary Clinton does become the president of the United States, her husband is not under her, only in that office. When he goes home, that's his wife. He's still the head of his house. That's the office that she pies. So we're going on here. So he was saying, whoso keepeth his word, and him verily is the love of God perfected. So how we got to walk even as he walks. So he says, I write no new commandment unto you, but that old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Who is that true light? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So in St. John the 8th chapter, so he didn't make himself. He is the light. And the light shine in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So he said, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So like I said before, the devil is accuser of the brethren. He is the instigator. He'll start stuff. He'll let you bite and devour one another. And this is what Apostle wrote and said, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. So you got to realize what's going on. Some people lie on people and all that. That's that spirit. It's a spirit. When you fear, it's a spirit. It's not nothing to sneeze at, but God haven't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. So a lot of people are talking about the letter of the word of God, but they don't have it because you got to be born again to get this. So he that hateth his, loveth his brother, abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. What eyes? The eyes of his understanding. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Then he goes on here, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not of him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So what is he talking about when he said don't love the world? He's talking about the system of the world. They'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal, they'll kill, they'll do anything to get ahead. And that is that almighty dollar. So this is why bishops, Paul wrote to the bishop, talking about a bishop must be a lover of hospitality, apt to teach, not greedy of filthy lucre, because too many are. Some people are so glad to be a bishop, and they're greedy of filthy lucre. They're steady just figuring out a way to hustle your money out of you and don't like it. If you search it out and find out, no, you're wrong. All God requires is the tithe and a free will offering. God didn't tell you how much to tell me to give. There's no scripture to support that. So you got to know that. And so our worst fight is going to be on the inside. So little children, is the last time. So we have to pay attention. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, and even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time they went out from us. They were not of us. They had been of us. They would no doubt have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So you want to know who a liar is? Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. Now, I remember somebody was talking about the Trinity today, some on LinkedIn. So I put on there, There is no such thing as the Trinity. I'm not going to do no foolishness like that. You're not going to get me out on a limb like that. I know better than that. I got the revelation of who he is. You get to heaven, you're not going to see three. You're not going to see, you're going to see one throne and one on the throne. There is only one God. That's an insult to God to believe in three and two. This is why James 2 and 19, James wrote, he says, thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So in other words, they know it's only one God. The devil is a liar. He's a liar and a father of it. He knows there's only one God, but he'll have you thinking there's two and there's three. So there's no such of a thing. There is, you know, he got a father and all. No, it's the one spirit. And you got to understand, I don't understand people. The Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. If you search the scriptures out. So he came in the flesh. The sonship is going to be done away with at the appointed time. They're going to see his hands. They're going to see his feet. They're going to ask him a question. When did you receive these? He's going to let them know I was wounded in the house of my friends. And not only that, Zechariah 12 and 10, the latter clause, Zechariah 12 and 10 in the Old Testament, the latter clause says, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So God wrote that back then. So you got to understand that there is only one God. So he says here, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? This is the question John is writing. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And notice now, that denieth the Father and the Son, there's no comma in between none of that, because he's the self-same one. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Excuse me, but he that acknowledge the Son hath the Father also, because he's the same one. That abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning, that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. You shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. You need not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So he's talking about the anointing in the teacher. So it's the same anointing in you. If you've been born again, the same anointing in the man who's teaching, he's going to teach the truth of the word of God. A lot of people, like someone said, are explaining the Bible away because they don't know who Jesus is and they don't understand the oneness. You'll never understand it if you haven't been born again and the devil is making a fool out of you. And I want to let you know right now that the worst sin in the whole world is not lying, is not adultery, it's not fornication, which is what homosexuality, that's actually fornication, because you can't, as far as God is concerned, you're not. You can't marry the same gender. A man can't marry another man, and it's against God. A woman can't marry another woman. I don't care what the state, United States, the Supreme Court, or whatever say, God is above everybody. He's letting people do their thing, but they're going to have to pay. Rejoice. Walk in your own ways. Know you not for all these things. God will bring you into judgment. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. So the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. It's going to bring everything into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything is going to be brought into judgment. So he goes on here. He's talking about now little children abide in him, and when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He's talking about the coming of the Lord. But ye, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Notice now, you got to be born again. You can't just saying, I go to church on Sunday and all that. Just going to church ain't going to save you. But you got to experience the new birth. And there's power. That's why he says they wanted to know when Jesus had been on the earth for 40 days after his resurrection, before he ascended up to heaven, sent back the Holy Ghost 10 days later, they asked him a question. Would thou restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He had said those words. He stepped on a cloud, was received out of their sight. Two angels, two men stood by in white apparel, ye men of Israel. Why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus which is taken up will come also in like manner. They're talking about the second coming, not the appearing, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, which is the rapture of the churches, the appearing. When he comes back with 10,000s of his saints, he's coming back to execute judgment, to fight. He's going to reign until he put all enemies under his feet. He's going to sit upon the throne of David and reign 1,000 years. So it's so much to go with this. So he goes on here, behold, look. So in other words, pay attention. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Now notice here, the subject here in 1 John, the second, third chapter, is the Father. So what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We who have been born again. We, the apostles, whom he chose. So in other words, we better do what they say do. So he goes on here, beloved, now are we the sons of God. So, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Who shall appear? Who is he talking about? The subject, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. So, what, we're the sons of God right now? We're not sinners saved by grace. I beg to differ. People say that. No, we're not looking down on nobody, but we're not sinners. We're not recovering sinners, but we're the sons of God. If you've been born again, you're a son of God. So you shouldn't be ashamed to say it. So the devil has conned people out of so much, and like they can't even proclaim that you can live above sin. So all unrighteousness is sin. We're not talking about sins of omission. There are sins of omission and commission. There's things you forgot to do or whatever, but all unrighteousness is sin. So in other words, what he's chiefly talking about is commission. That's why he says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. So in other words, it's like he said, we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Folks walking around naked and all of that, there's no sin. You're not blind. I'm not going to close my eyes because somebody, if I drove past a bunch of folks with no clothes on, I'm on the highway. I'm looking where I'm going, and I'm trying to make sure I don't hit nobody. As far as that part goes, we're not crazy. But the point, he says, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. So that's in your members, warring after the flesh. So he goes on, does not appear where we shall be, but we know when he shall appear. That's talking about the rapture of the church. We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So he goes on here to substantiate the point that I just made. My time is almost up for today, but he goes on here. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You know that he was manifest. Who? He who? Jesus Christ. He was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. So notice that ETH on the end of the word, that means you don't practice sin. You don't keep on. You might make a mistake. You get up and run for your life. He sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth, so in other words, if you keep on sinning, hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. See, a lot of people, they don't want to admit that the devil has children. Whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Question, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And then he goes on here, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So in other words, he didn't tell us to love everybody either. We love one another. I mean, people say stuff that's really stupid. It's really dumb. I love everybody. No, you don't. And some people you don't. You love them so much you're staying away from them, people that you do know. And how you going to love who you don't know? That don't make sense. You don't, and God don't love everybody. He said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. So God understands there's children, there's some people who are children of the devil, and they were born that way. There are a lot of things that went on, the Moabites and some of them, those were wicked people from the very beginning. The ones that the Lord told Saul, King Saul, who was before David, to utterly destroy them, and he didn't do it. Those weren't God people. Pharaoh and all, they weren't God's people. So you got to understand that. So he goes on here, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. So in other words, you keep hating. You hate so much, you'll kill. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So here's a key scripture. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to, who laid down their life? God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life. The subject is God. For us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I think I want to stop right there. We can pick this back up on next time. But we are talking about fellowship. So everybody don't know, they don't understand, because everybody was on the same page. Everybody was born again, talking the same thing. There would be no argument. They have actually put so-called religion in the same category as politics. And people say, there are two things I don't talk about. Somebody told me many, many, many years ago, I don't talk about two things I don't talk about, politics and religion. I mean, no, religion, God hates religion, but he came to save us. Religion is just going through a bunch of rules that somebody made. That's why he came to do away with that and to save us from our sins, not to give us good religion, but to save us from our sins. So you got to understand what is going on. So we thank God for this lesson on today, and we will talk to you again on next time. And so we thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And remember, my ongoing question, you'll thank heaven like they said you went to church, but my ongoing question is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Talk to you on next time.